Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for sharing the podcast, for your prayers. But if you're new, welcome. Thanks for watching and or listening, depending on what platform you're using. We're going to talk about headlines and just go as fast as we can around the world with Pastor Andy Woods. We got him back for another episode. Brother, thank you again for your time.
Yeah, good to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
All right. And by the way, some of these stories he gets into in depth in his pastor's point of views that come out every Friday. Best place to get that is on your YouTube, right?
Yeah, there. Just type in Andy Woods Ministries into YouTube. You can find it in podcast format. You can find it at Rumble. And those are the three best places to get it.
Okay. So, you know what? I want to talk about a good news, bad news story first, and then we'll jump into education and the Supreme Court, a recent decision. So this is an interesting story, friends. Planned Parenthood, it says, shutters seven more facilities. 30 have closed down this year since January. So this is great news. Part of it is because of a loss of Medicaid funds due to the Big Beautiful Bill, which banned all Medicaid reimbursements for abortion businesses getting at least $800,000 in reimbursement for a year. And Houston, Texas, they had the largest abortion facility in the Western Hemisphere, according to the founder of and CEO of 40 Days for Life. So they're closing a lot. Let's see here. They say, though, that the abortion giant has pointed to increasing health care and the rise in telemedicine services as some of the primary reasons for these closures, Andy. And before you respond, I've got another article that says the sales of the abortion pills are by mail. Abortion pills by mail are surging even in pro-life states. So we've got some good news that a lot of the brick-and-mortar Planned Parenthood murder mills are closing down. But abortion is, in some cases, in most cases, increasing. How could this be? New ways to do evil. Your thoughts on this story?
Well, it just shows me that the pro-abortion side has won the war of public opinion. You know, because here we are illegalizing abortion. Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Planned Parenthood is not getting the funding that she once got, but the demand for abortions is increasing. So you can't fight every battle at the political legal level. You have to get down into the hearts and minds, you know, of people. And it looks like the other side is winning through their marketing, through Hollywood, through their programming. And I remember Bernard Nathanson, I don't know if you know that name, but he was one of the architects of the pro-abortion movement. And he came up with this, and he converted. I think he may have passed on now, I'm not sure, but he later became a pro-lifer, you know, just on the evidence medically that, you know, obviously what's going on inside the womb of a woman is a living, breathing person.
Yes.
But he reveals the strategies of the dark side. He said, you know what? We used to trumpet this statistic. I think it was something like 200,000 women, maybe more, die of back alley abortions, you know, with the hangers every single year. And then when he converted to pro-life, he said, you know, that number, we just made it up. And it doesn't, as has been said, if you repeat a lie long enough, people will believe it.
Yeah.
So whether it's true or not, it didn't matter. It just helped our cause at the time. And so we just repeated it, whether there was statistics and facts behind it or not. So that shows me that the other side really knows how to play marketing much better than we do. And I think that's why we're winning some battles legally and politically. But as you say, abortions are increasing.
Yep. And by the way, they got the kids. You know, they have access in K through 12 in the government schools, and they are marketing the marketing is a great word. Sex. They are selling sex. It's the cult of sex. LGBTQ and everything from heterosexual sex to homosexual sex. So Planned Parenthood makes money no matter what. And transgenderism with the hormones and everything. So they're making money on abortion pills, or they're making money on abortion, selling abortions. They're making money on testing for sexually transmitted diseases. They're making money for confused kids on transgenderism. So it's no wonder they have an interest, Planned Parenthood, in the curriculum and sex or health curriculums in the public schools. But Mary Zock, the director of Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Center, says that while shutdowns, meaning the Planned Parenthood clinics, are a welcome development, there won't necessarily be fewer abortions as a result. While Americans should celebrate the closure of these abortion businesses, it doesn't mean more babies' lives will be saved. And that's what we're saying, Andy. That's what you're saying, too, because this is so deeply entrenched, the sexual promiscuity. It's anything goes, right? You remove God, you remove the biblical worldview, you remove the truth, and anything goes, including in K through 12. Your thoughts on this before we move on?
Well, just going back to the point that we have to start thinking the way cultural Marxists think. They talk about, you know, Gramsci, famous cultural Marxist, the long march to the institutions. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not so much about winning the next election. It's about capturing the instruments of society which disseminate values like media, like the church, like Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood plays a big role in this because you flip on your television and people are involved in free sex constantly, but there's never any real consequences. I mean, when was the last time you saw James Bond, you know, get a venereal disease, you know? And so Hollywood plays into it, and yep. We have to just start presenting truth at every level, not just politically and legally, but at the areas of society where values are formed in media, movies, Hollywood, particularly the schools, you know, the pulpit, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. Amen, brother. Amen. And by the way, David Kupelian wrote a great book years ago called The Marketing of Evil. And he talked about this and other things, but we need to move on. The next article, and this is one that Andy touched on a recent pastor's point of view. From Reuters, the U.S. Supreme Court clears way for Trump to gut the Education Department. Andy, I told you I wanted to talk about that word gut or the word dismantle when it's used. Is it more of a restructuring? And will anything change at the local and state level, even though they're going to remove some of the bureaucracy? Your overall thoughts on that?
Well, you have to remember the Department of Education came into existence with Jimmy Carter in the late 1970s. Mm-hmm. And around that time, we were towards the top in educational standards worldwide. And now after decades of having a Department of Education, you know, we're now towards the bottom, almost in every category. And when you get into the research of Paul Vitz, he talks about how once education became federalized through a Department of Education, all of our Christian heritage stories, part of history, the Christian roots of America, the Christian beliefs of America's founders, those started to get censored, you know, or disappear from the textbooks. So any type of move by Trump, you know, to dismantle the Department of Education, I'm all for. We've had countless presidents that have promised to do it on the Republican side, right? Reagan promised to do it and didn't. The Bush presidents promised to do it and did it. Now we have a guy that's actually trying.
Yeah.
And here the courts step in and say, well, you can't do it, which is what the left always does when they lose. They run to the courts. But here the United States Supreme Court stepped in and said to Trump, you can do it. So this is, to my mind, very positive development. It's his attempt to, you know, work the Secretary of Education out of a job, is what he told her. And I want to read to you this quote here from T.H. Bell, who was the Secretary of Education under Ronald Reagan. And his group put together a study of America's education at that time called A Nation at Risk. You may have heard of this. And this was his conclusion after that study. It's a fairly well-known quote. You can find it easily online. Bell writes, quote, if an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we might have well viewed it as an act of war. As it stands now, we have allowed this to happen to ourselves. We have, in effect, been committing an act of unthinkable unilateral educational disarmament. So what he's saying is, if you look at what's happened to public education since the Department of Education, if a foreign power did this to us,
oh my goodness,
we'd call that an act of war.
Yes.
But as such, we've done it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy that Trump wants to do anything, even if he's not going to completely dismantle it, at least he's weakening its power and returning education to where it belongs, to the state level.
But Andy, we all know that all the teachers' unions need are more money to get those test scores back. I'm joking. I'm kidding. We were leading the world, or one of the top, in the 1970s, and people don't connect those dots. Here we are in 2025. The unions are saying they need more money in education, or they blame it on COVID, the declining test scores. Let's just share a quick quote by Democracy Forward. It's a liberal legal group, said that the court's action, quote, deals a devastating blow to this nation's promise of public education for all children. And I just put up my little note, LOL, right after that. But we forget, Andy, that the Department of Education's main roles included administering college loans, tracking student achievement, enforcing civil rights in schools, and providing federal funding for needy districts and helping students with disabilities. Boy, we've gotten really far away from what education really truly is or supposed to be. And I come from a family of educators. And to note that the three liberal, leftist, Democrat, socialist, whatever you want to put their names as, the women on the Supreme Court voted against this, of course. Let's talk about Harvard briefly and anti-Semitism. This is from Stanley Kurtz over at National Review, inside Harvard's indoctrination factory. To Harvard's credit, its recent report on anti-Semitism and anti-Israel bias makes it possible to experience the way political indoctrination at a prestigious university looks like and sounds. So let's just cut to the chase here, Andy Woods. I love what President Trump is doing, some of the executive orders trying to root out DEI, which you cannot root it out, but at least you can start at the top. What do you think they're trying to do here with anti-Semitism? What happened on October 7, not over in Israel, but after that on October 8, on college campuses in America, that just didn't suddenly evolve overnight. This was years and years and years of this indoctrination. Your thoughts on where we're at in colleges?
Well, it deals with Harvard Divinity School, so one of our most influential elite schools, what they're teaching spiritual leaders, you know, or perspective spiritual, you know, soon coming spiritual leaders, we might put it that way. I mean, what kind of curriculum are they being exposed to? Well, this article points out that it's a decidedly anti-Israel, anti-Zionist education. And when you get into the nuts and bolts of this article, you see a lot of the funding for this comes from, wait for it, drum roll, surprise, surprise, George Soros is involved with this kind of thing, the quintessential, you know, globalist. And it's basically trying to make the case that what Israel did is what America did in their views. You know, just America is an illegitimate occupying power. They try to make the case here that the same is said of the nation of Israel. So if you really want to make this right, you got to spend the rest of your life as a pastor, as a preacher, as a spiritual leader. You know, you've got to spend it involved in pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel politics, and you have to sort of unseat you know, the authenticity or legitimacy of the nation of Israel. So that's what this article exposes, and that's what these upcoming spiritual leaders are being exposed to at Harvard around the clock. There's no attempt to be fair-minded about a controversial subject. It's very one-sided. Thank you, Harvard. Thank you, George Soros, for that. And it's no wonder we get preachers in our pulpits, you know, like the late, I believe he passed away, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, you know, who I called Jeremiah Wrong,
yeah,
Obama's pastor,
yeah,
you know, who spent his pulpit time crusading against America and crusading against, quote, them Jews, close quote, or the nation of Israel. It's because of educational propaganda like this.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a brief pause. We're with Andy Woods. When we come back, we'll get his take on President Emmanuel Macron in France, planning to recognize a Palestinian state at the upcoming UN General Assembly in September. Who else will join along with that? We'll be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
All right, friends, back with Andy Woods, andywoodsministries.org. So I think you sent me this one, Andy. I was aware of it. I heard it on the news. And in fact, I was interviewing Olivier Melnick. And at the end of the interview, 2 minutes before we were done, he gets a phone call. He looks down. It's Janet Parshall. He was going to go on Janet Parshall's show right after being on Worldview Matters. So it was kind of interesting. And they were talking about this. So Macron calls for a ceasefire, humanitarian aid, and Palestinian statehood. This is no surprise, knowing France's, they're very welcoming to Islam and the Muslim community, and not so much for Christians and Jews. So your thoughts on where this might go?
Well, this is what Macron does with his time, I guess, when he's not being slapped by his wife on a plane, as you saw. weird
yeah, that
stuff
was...
but he wants a Palestinian state. Now where do you want to build the Palestinian state? I like what Huckabee said. Why don't we build it in France?
Exactly.
But they're not interested. They're not interested in that. What they always mean by this is their two-state solution, where they want to take the West Bank, which is an unbiblical terminology. It's better term, Judea and Samaria, and they want to carve that out, and they want to give it away to the Palestinians. And it's that will take Israel's width and reduce it to, you know, less than 10 miles, which will put Israel in a militarily indefensible position, mm-hmm. and give it to a bunch of people who are part of the Islamic faith that essentially – and they may lie to masquerade their true intentions, which they're allowed to do under something called taqiyya, where you're allowed to lie to advance the cause of Allah. But they'll say, oh, we're going to recognize Israel's right to exist, when in reality they're just going to use it as a beachhead to achieve their ultimate goal, which is the destruction, you know, of the modern state of Israel. The two-state solution is the final solution. And here's Macron, mm-hmm. and then the Prime Minister of Britain now jumping on board, and the world community is now meeting. I think the meeting is now, and I think it's also supposed to be in September, mm-hmm. where they're all acolytes for this two-state solution. And here are the nations involved. I mean, it reads like the who's who list of your newspaper. Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK. What do they all agree on? They agree we need this two-state solution, which I think is prophetically significant, because the Bible says at the end every nation will turn against Israel, and God will enter judgment one day against the nations, Joel 3, verse 2, because they've divided his land.
So let's move on briefly to, I wish we could spend more time on this one, but this is what's going to happen. It's prophetic. And you wrote a book, The Middle East Meltdown, which is phenomenal. I'd encourage people to get that. It talks about the coalition of nations surrounding Israel. Israel is this really tiny speck defending herself and has a right to, by the way. But the New York Times did this. Back to the media last week when we talked with you, Andy, we talked about what's going on with the Russia collusion investigation, what's being exposed. But what how the media handles these stories is very important, because some people don't do their due diligence. They don't do the research. The New York Times was very irresponsible. And you've sent me this from Pamela Geller. The Gaza starvation lie. So apparently a so-called journalist for the pro-Hamas propaganda site DropSite News claimed that the Israeli government was planning very specifically to cut off food to Gaza. And if you show this very, very sad picture, it's this woman, looks like she's Muslim. Look at there she is. She's carrying this starved young man, this boy. This is to make this point, but it was actually a lie. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it says here in this article by Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, quoting Robert Spencer, it says the UK's Daily Express published a lurid cover photo of what has been purportedly a starving Gazan child. But many pointed out that the child was actually suffering from a congenital disease. As always, however, the facts simply don't matter. All that matters was furthering the leftist narrative so as to move the world a step closer to accepting Israel's destruction. This was the real goal behind all of the crocodile tears, hand-wringing hysteria over a population that was not actually starving. And it talks in this article about overweight, you know, women holding babies. I mean, that really doesn't sound like a starving population. I mean, what mother would feed themselves to the point where they become overweight, you know, where they wouldn't feed the child? This child that's being held up, as tragic as that is, that has nothing to do with Israelis starving people in Gaza. And the Israelis have sent in humanitarian trucks that the UN has stopped, according to this article. So if you want to blame someone for alleged starvation in Gaza, then you need to go after the UN. And this Robert Spencer article, you know, just cuts to the chase and exposes the reality of what's really going on. I mean, it's part of a propaganda war to turn world opinion against Israel to ultimately achieve this two-state solution that we talked about earlier.
Yes. Boy, 5 minutes left with you, Andy. Let's go to Christians now being attacked. And that's the recent news, and I'm sure the number is going to grow by the time this airs. But over 40 Christians were gathering for a night of prayer at a church. They were killed in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And where's the media? I mean, I haven't seen too many outlets report on this. This is an ongoing problem with the media, the anti-Christian, anti-Israel media in America. This has been a series of attacks, by the way, in this region. More than 80 people have been killed in total so far, and it's linked to the Islamic State. But that's not popular. That's not their worldview that the media would like to call any attention to. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if there's a problem in the world and you can't blame it on the white Christian nationalists domestically, or you can't blame it on the Israelis, then you just marginalize the story. You know, you spike the story, you don't draw attention to the story, or the only people that would ever learn of it would be people like ourselves, David, that are really interested in these kinds of things and try to research them. Most people out there just don't have the time, effort, or energy, you know, to expend on research the way we can. And so a story like that, you know, just kind of comes and goes and no one even knows it exists. It's the best way I can explain it is the media are people that are activists masquerading as journalists. They're not true journalists.
Yes. Yes. So it closes by saying millions of people have been killed in eastern DRC, this Democratic Republic of Congo. Millions have been displaced, many of them farming communities, defenseless people there. They've lost everything. But it's not a convenient story for our biased, corrupt media. One more story to touch on, and I've got like a lot we didn't get to, but this one is interesting. Another one that the media won't touch on. That one was from Open Doors. This one is from the Washington Stand. Trump administration finds 13,000 more missing migrant children and arrests 400 plus abusive sponsors. So reports indicate that child sex trafficking tripled during former President Joe Biden's term. There's a surge in online sex ads. 90% of them are reportedly exploited migrants. And we know the border numbers. Approximately 137,000 minors crossed the border unaccompanied, which is astounding. Some estimates suggest nearly 300,000 immigrant children went missing under Biden's oversight. So the Trump administration doing some great things in this sense as well. Andy, go ahead. Your thoughts.
Well, I mean, my thoughts are, if you can't police your borders, don't call yourself a country, because you have to have border enforcement to be a country any more than I'm a hospitable person. But please use the front door, you know, so I can vet you, you know, before you come in. And if you're allowed to sneak in through the back door or the window unvetted, then I'm not really a homeowner or the leader of my home. And so obviously it's a pretty simple concept that you police your borders. And when you do that, it cuts down on all this other stuff, you know, fentanyl, drug trafficking, slavery, child sex trafficking. And it's as much as the left wants to rail against the slavery of America's founding fathers, why are they ignoring the slavery that's happening right now? You know, yes, through these borderless policies that they have.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And again, another angle that the media will not cover, what the Trump administration is doing. And kudos to them for what they're doing here. By the way, we did a recent show with Brian Thomas on the lies about slavery. I encourage you guys to go look that one up. Andy, appreciate all your work. And there's so much that you do. Your pastor's point of views, you cover so much of this, and then you're in the pulpit teaching, you lead the Bible study. I don't know how you do all you do, but we're very thankful for your time that you can spend here with us on Worldview Matters, and 2 episodes in 1 month. So thank you, sir. Yeah, appreciate
David,
it.
David, always a joy. Good to be with you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. We will do more, Lord willing, next time. Thank you guys for sharing these podcasts. We're growing in sphere of influence. Praise God. And it's because of you and your prayers. So God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.